Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey y'all, happy Monday. I'm so excited to be doing the second episode of Life Apologetic with Athena. I'm super excited for this platform and this opportunity given by God to just share what's on my heart, what's on God's heart. Last week, we talked about emotional conflict and what that looks like practically and spiritually in these difficult times. I know that so many people are experiencing hard times with the coronavirus. And, you know, the virus is bad enough, but it's having such a huge effect on our economy, on our finances, and just really how we operate and go through our day to day. So I'm definitely in prayer for all of you who are finding yourselves in hardship, for all of you who have been laid off and are unemployed. I'm definitely praying your strength in God and that God will just continue to provide for you like he always has in many different ways. This week, I wanted to get back to the roots and the purpose of my podcast, the platform, why I signed up to do this, why I invested in myself to get this done. And for me, I really wanted to introduce my own personal journey from a space of walking out of religion and performance to a more healthy space of true freedom for me through relationship with God, through relationship with Jesus, and most of all, through relationship with Holy Spirit. It's in this space that I really found my true identity. Relationship and intimacy with Holy Spirit has really allowed me to see who God has created me to be. And I pray that through this episode, you begin to go on your own spiritual journey, to seek out Holy Spirit for yourself, to know who he is, to learn about him as your comforter in these difficult times, to learn who he is as a teacher, and how he can teach you through the struggle of what seems to be not having enough, the struggles of fear and anxiety, and even the struggles of depression as a result to circumstances and situations. I can only speak for me, but as I observed going through different churches and going in different conventions and programs, it seemed like everyone was like me, just kind of operating like in this religious lens. In this space, I would often see even myself and even the pastor's motto, this religious performance type thing. It was almost as if going to church was a routine and everything was similarly the same. Maybe the message was different from time to time, but the end result, it was always just mundane, right? There was like really no huge purpose in it other than just wanting to be saved to make it into heaven. So really just trying to be a good person. For me, it was going to church regularly. That was Christianity. That was salvation for me. And trying to be active as a way to prove my belief in God. I mean, I was on every dream team. I was in every small group that you could think of. I held many different small groups for women in my home to help facilitate empowerment and spiritual growth in my home. And I still felt like that was kind of out of trying to prove that I truly believe God and that I wanted to be saved. I would give my time and I would apply it everywhere. Whatever area I was needed, whatever event was going on, I was there. But even in doing all of that, I found myself really feeling like something was missing. I mean, like I wasn't connecting in many ways to God as others were. I would observe and I would just not seem to be in that same space. Now, I grew up in a very toxic environment, so feeling disconnected was normal for me. Being vulnerable and transparent, knowing now that that's what it took, that was a completely uncomfortable, unfamiliar place for me, totally outside of my norm. I got saved when I was 12, And it really happened by like just stumbling over a Bible. Now, at that time, I had never been introduced to God. So to just find this book was amazing. I mean, I love to read. So reading all of these different stories in the Bible just seemed amazing to me. I would read this book everywhere. And one day, my father decided to take us to church. And sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but I feel like this story really feeds into my journey, right? And so we went to this church, and I remember following the directions to say the salvation prayer and accept Jesus in my heart. I was 12, but I was a pretty smart 12-year-old. I had a lot of experience just having to grow up fast. So I really took receiving that salvation serious. It wasn't something that I felt I was doing just to do it, but I really felt a connection to God, and I really wanted to be saved. I really wanted to be a good, wholesome person, especially not wanting to be like the people I grew up around and my family and just the toxicity. Like, I never had a heart to want to be that type of person. So I followed the directions to be saved. I accepted Jesus in my heart, and then I waited on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And boy, was that a difficult process for me. Let me tell you. So I think we were in a Baptist church. And so being in a Baptist church, to get the Holy Spirit, you had to work for it. Like literally, you had to work and sweat. You had to go up to the altar, totally vulnerable, totally transparent. And you called on Jesus until something happened. I mean, this was hours, y'all, of sweating and calling on Jesus. For me, after reading the Bible, I guess this was their way of reproducing or reenacting the upper room in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 1. It explained how followers of Jesus met in one place and prayed and waited on God until something happened. And then when the Holy Spirit came in, it says, Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind and filled the room, and everyone spoke in tongues. Now, when I read that story and I knew being at this church, I had to go to the altar and I had to wait and call on Jesus, I was expecting that mighty rushing wind. I was expecting my hair to blow like Beyonce, and I was expecting to see these fiery tongues hover on top of my head, because that's what the Bible said. And so I did my part. I went to the altar. I called on Jesus. I followed the directions of the pastor, and I would see everyone else have an experience. They would speak in tongues, or they would move their bodies a certain way that kind of freaked me out and seemed somewhat hilarious, but at the same time, just weird. Needless to say, nothing happened for me in all my attempts to get the Holy Spirit. And each time I went to that altar, I walked away discouraged. Now, that just sucked. For me, this went on for years until finally, Jesus, I got to the point of accepting the fact that I had Jesus in my heart. I accepted him through the salvation prayer, but Holy Spirit just wasn't for me. Or maybe he didn't want me, or like so many other people in my life, maybe I was just suffering from rejection. You know, I really suffered from a bad case of rejection from just growing up in a toxic environment, really not having a firm home to stay in because of my parents and the individuals that took us in were not the most loving. And me and my brother at that time seemed to have been a burden. So rejection was a real threat for me in my life for a very long time. And so trying to receive Holy Spirit, because this was what I was told had to happen, and I was shown the way that it had to happen, and outside of that, you weren't saved, I immediately felt rejected by God, rejected by Holy Spirit. And that was such a discouraging time for me. Now, if we fast forward years later, I found myself in worship yet again one Sunday morning, just staring at everyone who seemed to be in this space of awe with God. I mean, I was in the same room, but what seemed like not the same space. I hope that makes sense. Like, I don't want to say it was an out-of-body experience, but it was like it was a real aha moment. Like, wow, I'm literally in worship. The music is going. The atmosphere is set, but I'm in a totally different place. Like, I'm nowhere near where these people are who are crying, who are laughing, who are jumping up and down. But for me, I'm not feeling it. And I'm like, is it the music? Is it the culture? What is it, right? And so I felt completely lost. And that familiar feeling of rejection came back in an instant, in just a moment's time. It was in that moment that I just really asked God what's wrong with me. Like, I just got real with him. I think after you go through so much, and after you feel rejected, after you feel depressed, after you feel anxiety, after you feel all of these different streams of emotion and experience all of these different levels of trauma, you just get to a point where it's not that you give up, you're just done, right? And so for me, it was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done trying to figure this out. I'm done trying to perform. So look, God, what's wrong with me? I mean, really, why is it that I can't get in the space that everyone else is in? I mean, I believe and I serve, but I don't have a connection like everyone else. I don't cry to songs like everyone. I don't have huge smiles on my face. I'm not just rolling around on the floor. I'm just here taking up space, not really hearing from God at all. And so that's when I heard a voice. Like, I had this true experience with God, and it wasn't like I heard this audible voice. I know the Bible speaks a lot about God talks in a very still, small voice. And so you get that in your head and you begin to try to hear this small little voice. But I remember asking God what was wrong with me. And I had almost like an impression on my mind. It was kind of like an intuitive feeling, like I knew what I knew that I was hearing and that I was feeling and that I was sensing and experiencing in my mind, but it wasn't a sound. It was just, I knew that it was God speaking to me. And he said to me that I needed to seek relationship with Holy Spirit, not religion through performance. Listen, y'all, that hit me. That hit me really hard, because it was almost as if in that time I had a complete perspective shift. Like, my mind just reset for some reason. It was like, oh my goodness, I'm looking through new lenses, right? And things, while they still didn't make sense, I felt like they were gonna make sense. And so as that hit me, and as I really began to think about that, I started my search to seek relationship with Holy Spirit daily and consistently in what I call quiet time. And that's something I want to talk about on this particular episode, is our personal quiet time with Holy Spirit. For me, that was a completely new way of life. That was a new practice that I had never been introduced to. But I really wanted to know who Holy Spirit was. And I really wanted to get this connection that everyone else seemed to have. And so I ordered this book by John Brevere called Holy Spirit. I mean, this book told me everything I ever needed to know about Holy Spirit. And so what did my quiet time look like for me? It was amazing. It was every weekend for 12 hours, I would go in my prayer closet and I would take this book and I would study, I would worship, I would pray, and I would call out to God. And it was just such a real experience. And we're going to get into that. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But as I began to prepare for this episode, I looked at three key points that I wanted to go over. The first key point is, what is quiet time with Holy Spirit and why is it important? You find the reason why we do this in Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6, 33 says, "But seek, aim, and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you." I love that, because it gives you direction as to what we need to do. Even right now with the coronavirus and with everything going on, with the lack of finances, with the fear of being laid off, we really need to be seeking God first. We need to seek him before we seek fear. We need to seek him before we seek anxiety. We need to seek him before we look at our bank statements and really say, God, what is it that I need to do? Where am I lacking? Am I outside of your will? And if not, Father, how are you going to provide for me in these times that seem uncertain? So when we look at what is quiet time, I had a little definition, so I wrote it down. Quiet time is a personal time alone with God. It's a time set aside to talk and listen to God through the Holy Spirit. It's a time we carve it out, y'all, out of our busy schedules, and we give God our undivided attention. In a nutshell, that's what it is. making time for God, whether you got to put this on your calendar, whether you got to put this on your whiteboard, whether you put it in your phone as an alert or an alarm, you set time aside to talk to God like you would make any plans with any other person that you're in relationship with. You would do the same to have this quiet time with God. Now, while this may seem like a cool thing to do, trust me, it's challenging for most of us. It's challenging because if we have short attention spans, it's going to be very hard to be in one space trying to perform this activity or trying to learn how to do this activity or practice regularly, right? I feel like because we have social media and we have access to all of these different apps and entertainment, that our attention spans are like very minimal. I mean, if you look at Instagram, you're constantly swiping. If you're on Facebook, you're constantly scrolling, emojiing, liking. And now I think there's something called TikTok. I have no clue why you need yet another app. There was Chit Chat or Chat or something. And so you have all of these things that really diminish your attention span. And so I can see why, even in this generation, it would be challenging to have quiet time with God regularly. I mean, I find most of the time that most people never think to create time with God. Like, we never really think that they need it. I see this everywhere I go. Even at work, it's like people say they believe in God, but they really don't. You would know if someone's creating time to be with God. Like, your conversations would show that you're creating time with God. It's almost as if it was never modeled. And just for me, and I can speak for me, it was never modeled. So I can get why so many other people don't have quiet time, because it really wasn't modeled. I know for me, God was the last thing on my mind. As I was being raised, yeah, I knew him and I had the Bible, but because of everything I was going through, God sometimes was not the first thing that I thought about, at least from what I could see on the outside of my life now looking back. As far as my family, like many, we didn't practice what it looked like to live a holy life or set apart or to live a life for God or to be a Christian per se. If anything, a Sunday sermon covered the whole week and I could just check that off my to-do list, right? I don't know if you can attest to that. For many, it's a new concept, quiet time, consistently putting it on my schedule just to sit somewhere and talk to God. It's a whole new concept. I mean, in a time where electronics, like I said, and social media take priority, I mean, we wake up first thing in the morning and get on our phones. Or the infamous Easter Sunday is when everybody buys their new outfits and goes to church in their big white hats to kind of solidify the year for them. But as we look at Matthew 6:33, once again, seeking God and all his righteousness, he says all these things will be added. Now listen, quiet time with God is a basic ingredient, like any recipe, like anything needed for any friendship or intimate relationship. It's a basic ingredient in a maturing relationship with God. We have to have relationship with God. He created us to be in relationship, literally. Time alone with God through the Holy Spirit moves us from very limited experiences, y'all. This is what I was experiencing when I was asking God what's wrong with me. I was experiencing limits that I was placing on myself by not knowing how to live limited in God, or limit. I can't even say the word, but to have no limits in God. I had limits. I put a cap on God. I stuck God in a box because of how it was modeled, that this is what it looks like, right? And so as believers, we are to move out of this realm of religion, right? This realm of performance where we have to do things in order to get something. This is the way of the world. It's not the way of God. We really have to move in the realm of relationship. Relationship doesn't have requirements. Relationship doesn't necessarily have rules for service. Like, God loves us emphatically, without any limits, without any barriers. And does he expect certain characteristics and things of us to reflect him? Absolutely. But as you move in relationship, those things don't seem as difficult as they do when you're fighting it to stay in religion. I mean, if we read the Bible, I don't know if many of you do, but I do, and many that I know do. But if we read the Bible, even Jesus created this time. It was really intimate for him. He lived and thrived off of prayer and making time to talk to God. I mean, he drew his strength out of just going away from all of the noise, all of the people around him, and just praying. There's many times in the Bible where it says that Jesus stole away to pray. Like, he always found space and time to go pray. He even invited his disciples to pray with him. He even taught his disciples how to pray. And so that leads me into the second key point, which is the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Now, like I said, I learned a lot about Holy Spirit through the book Holy Spirit by John Brevere. It really opened my eyes to see where Holy Spirit had been all the while. I mean, by reading and really knowing who Holy Spirit was, I really realized that Holy Spirit was with me all the time. When I accepted God in my life, I accepted Holy Spirit into my heart as well. For most of us, we see him talked about by Jesus in John 14:26. It says, "But the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, stand by, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," that's Jesus, "in my place," that's Jesus, "to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall what I have told you." And so, thinking about the coronavirus and thinking about all of the hardship, I really feel like this is the one time that we really should be trying to seek after Holy Spirit. Now, we should have been trying to find out this relationship thing a long time ago, but if any time it was important, it's now. I mean, if God has given us this person to be our comforter, we can really get through these hard times relying on him to comfort us. If he's meant to be our counselor, like, we can go to him and have conversations with him, and he will give us answers as your counselor would, that will be effective both emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It says that he's our helper. We all need help in these difficult times, whether that's financially, whether that's trying to stay sane, whether that's trying to fight fear. He's our helper. He's the one to give us strength to be able to get through the hard things we're experiencing. He's our intercessor. He's praying for us and with us for the best for us, for the best of our situations. He's advocating with God in heaven on behalf of us, that God will continue to have grace and mercy on us. He's a strengthener. He can empower us to get through these hard times, but we have to trust him and surrender to him as a strengthener. And he's here to teach us all truth. The truth is God. The truth is the word of God. So if we have this person who Jesus and God sent on their behalf to help us get through all of these things God already knew we would go through, why wouldn't we want to tap in to get to know that person? It's just, the question has to be asked. God knew that without Jesus here to teach us, that we would fail on our own, like literally. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit here for some of us who have tapped into him, we would completely fail at life as we know it. But God knew that and knew what the plan needed to be so that we could be successful. He sent the Holy Spirit, who has always been on the scene. I mean, as I began to read that book by John Brevere, Holy Spirit, I began to see where Holy Spirit started in Genesis, where he helped God create the earth. I began to see him throughout the Bible, where he empowered the men and women of God to do the things that they needed to do. I mean, he was on the scene and in the forefront all the time. In relationship, we see it with Jesus. Jesus had the Holy Spirit and operated through the Holy Spirit and intimacy so that he could hear from God to complete his purpose. It's through the Holy Spirit that we read the Bible that God really begins to speak to us. I mean, through Holy Spirit, when we read the Bible, it will come alive. It will make sense, and we will be able to apply it to our lives practically. It's like any relationship, right? Communication is key to knowing that person better. If you want to have a healthy relationship, you have to talk, you have to communicate, you have to reason, you have to compromise. And I find that a lot the same with Holy Spirit. I go through challenges like anyone else, and I find it so important to be able to have an open communication, being vulnerable and being transparent, so that He can come in and do all of the things that He's meant to do. I found out through seeking who Holy Spirit was for me, through that wonderful book by John Bevere, that my eyes were completely open. And so it leads me to our third key point, is what does quiet time with the Holy Spirit look like? Like, how do I do it? I love Psalms 1 because it says meditate on the word day and night. Really just practice keeping God in your heart through reading His Bible and through prayer. And the only way that you truly meditate day and night is just set up times, schedule times in your day, in the morning and in the evening, to just spend time with God. For me, it's 4 a.m. in the morning because I go to work early so that I can have a nice hour with God. I usually will worship, I'll pray, and then I'll just sit silent to listen to Him. And then the evenings for me, it's worship, it's prayer, but then it's really like studying my Bible, really trying to get direction from God. And so it's important that we create these times with Holy Spirit to teach us. Somehow we don't even feel like we need it, but it's so important. So there's a couple of things you do. There's three steps that I recommend that you do to have quiet time with God. The first thing is to schedule a time with God and be intentional. Like, literally make a time that you're going to be with God, that you're going to set aside, that you're not going to use your phone, that you're not going to watch television. And it's just going to be you, God, your Bible, and any other resource that you want to use. Like anything else, you need to attend to do it. You need to, once again, be intentional. Like, I have to do this. It has to be scheduled and it has to happen. Just like we have to get up and go to work, just like we have to do that to pay our bills, just like we have to get up to take care of our families or to do our chores in our home, we have to do the same thing when it comes to spending time with God. The second point is to choose a place. If possible, conduct your quiet time in the same place every time. In time, this spot will take a special meaning. Let me tell you, my space is called the War Room, and I love going in there. Anytime I love going in there, period. But when I'm having a hard day or when I feel like God is really impressing something on my heart, that's the space that I go into to really seek after God and seek His heart for what I'm feeling on mine or what I'm struggling with. It has become, for me, my go-to place. I look forward to going into my war room, into my quiet space. The third thing is to use a variety of methods. For me, I love books. So I love to study books that are scripture-based, because that allows me to not only learn on a topic, but also to study that topic through the Word of God. And so that allows me to be practical in my day-to-day. So you want to find certain ways in your quiet time with God after you schedule, after you choose a space, that you find tools and tricks to study. Now, I have a wonderful friend by the name of Roslyn. She has an amazing podcast called Faith as a Christian podcast, I believe. And I want to look that up because I want to make sure I give y'all the real content, because her podcast is phenomenal. She really teaches about how being Christian and going through counseling and doing the work, right? Like, doing what it takes to be at your best can oftentimes be through counseling. And so it's called Therapy as a Christian Podcast with Roslyn. Therapy as a Christian Podcast with Roslyn. And so Roslyn does these quiet time with God challenges, right? Time with God challenges. And so she has this amazing spreadsheet that's called Tips and Tricks to Spending Time with God. And she lists out a lot of different ways that you can use to have your quiet time with God. You can worship for 5 to 10 minutes. You can do journaling for 5 to 7 minutes. And you can read and pray for 15 to 30 minutes or 25 to 50 minutes. And then she gives some other cool tricks that I'll try to put in the show notes. for you to have. But I just want to encourage you all this week to really practice having quiet time with God. I also wanted to leave with a weekly focus, a weekly character focus for the week that'll help us develop healthy faith-based habits. This week, I really want us to focus on practicing awareness. To grow and mature, we have to be aware of who we are. We have to. Like, that's the only way that we grow. Being aware is being responsible. So we have to be aware of ourselves. We have to be aware of how we respond to our environments and how it reflects our character when seeking God. When we get into really difficult situations, how are we responding? If we're not spending time with God, if we're not having a dedicated time with the Father, we will not respond to our environments well. Our soul is the place where our passions come from. Our soul is the place where our intelligence comes from. And our soul is where our consciousness really resides. You know, it's all that makes us who we are. This body is just a body to facilitate what we need to do for God with our souls and with our spirits. But everything that makes us who we are is within our soul. God gave us self-awareness for a reason. And it's important that we really look at it. So as a character focus for this week, I really want us to practice being self-aware. And so I wrote down three steps on how we can practice being self-aware this week. One is live authentically, to be aware of who God says we are, not who people says we are, not who our parents called us, not all of the negative names or the negative titles that have been placed on us throughout our life, but be aware of who God says we are. In Psalms 139:14, God tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You were made in the image of God. You were not made to be ashamed. You were not made to be depressed. You were not made to be stressed out. You weren't made to stress about money. You weren't made to stress about your family's behaviors. You weren't made to stress about the state of the world. You were wonderfully and beautifully and fearfully made by God to be like God and to walk according to His word. So I just want to encourage you to just be your authentic self. We have so many masks that we wear on our faces because of our upbringing, or to protect ourselves, or to shield ourselves from being hurt again and again and again. And we put on so many masks that we truly forget who we are. I mean, I remember always having to get my hair done, and I would always wear weaves so that my hair was longer and fuller than my natural hair. And I found that that was a way that I wasn't being my authentic self. Yeah, I know it's little, but it's expensive, y'all. And so there was a point where I came to a point in my life where it's like, I just want to be me. Like, whatever my hair looks like, whatever my nails and feet, whatever my face looks like without makeup, I just want to be authentic in my body and let that transcend to my spirit. And so as I began to eliminate all of these things that supposedly made me who I was, I really began to be who I was called to be. And so I just want to encourage you all to be who God has called you to be. Be your authentic self. That's what's on the heart of God for everyone, is just to be who God has called us to be and nothing else. The second thing I wanted us to look at, or the second point to being aware and to really being living and being our authentic self, is to be aware of how our attitudes and our behaviors affect others. Be aware how our attitude and how our behaviors affect others. This is super duper important. How we act and the things we say, our mannerisms, our actions, they affect the people around us. If we're rude, mean, and disrespectful, it's going to change the environment for other people. If we're controlling and belittling and not kind, it's going to affect others. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a person who changes somebody's positive day into a negative. I don't want to be a person that people don't want to be around because my conversations aren't healthy. I don't want to be a person who focuses on the negative things that are going on around us or the negative things in life and not be that person who brings life and not death through our tongues. The Bible says the power of life and death is in our tongues. So the way that we act and the way that we respond in our behavior really is going to set the tone for other people's days. The last, third, and final point to being aware and being self-aware and being your authentic self is to be aware of your unrealized potential for greatness that's inside you. God made you to be great. He made you to be amazing. He made you to be wonderful. There's so many talents within you that God has placed that you just have to uncover. You weren't made to work a 9-to-5 for your whole life with possibly no retirement, living paycheck to paycheck and feeling miserable, unhappy. You were made to live and thrive in success in every area of your life. But I promise the only way that you're going to get to that place is through quiet, intimate time with Holy Spirit. Let Him teach you the things that God has for you. Let Him teach you how to get to your life's purpose. Let Him teach you the things that God wants to show you so that you can be your most healthy, awesome, authentic self. I love you all. I hope that this episode helps you. Once again, like, I have bloopers, I mess up, but I'm not re-recording because I really want it to just be a conversation. There's so many tricks to this thing where we can go in and we can crop and cut out, but I'm just gonna flow with it and let it do what it do. So I hope that it blesses you. I hope that you guys are looking for these weekly episodes. If you have questions or there's a topic you want me to speak on or you have questions for God and maybe you're not getting answers, I'd love to help seek God on those questions with and for you. Send me an email at relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. That's relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. I'll answer your emails on the podcast towards the end. I love you all. Have a blessed and safe weekend. Bye now.